Jesus came to his hometown, and the disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom with which he has been given? And what are the deeds being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could do no deeds of power there, except he laid his hands on a few sick people, and they were cured. He was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money for their belts, but to wear sandals and not to wear two tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And if any place will not welcome you, if they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. And they cast out many demons and anointed many with oil who were sick and cured them. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. I will invite the children to come up for our message this morning. Good morning, you all. How are you? I'm going to need your help, all right? So there's a couple things that I want to show you. They are something like this. Have you guys seen anything like this before? I need to step over here. Have you guys seen anything like that before? Yes? No? What it is you put your finger in the loop here, and then you pull it back a little bit like this, and then you let it go. Right? If you want to get that one, that's fine, but I got another one. And I got enough for all of us. Oop, the other way. Okay. Here we go. Okay, come here. Let me show you. You have the right concept, but what I want you to do is hold it from the back like this, with this hand. There you go. And then put your finger in this hand, or in this loop, and then fire it that way. Don't fire it at me. Fire it that way. What are you doing? I just told you, you got to fire it this way. We'll go towards your mom and dad. See if I can reach your mom and dad. Do you think I can reach your mom and dad? Hey, that one went, right? See if you can do it too. Oh, she's getting a good angle. Here you go. I got one for Calvin here. This one might be a little bit easier because it has a little trigger right here that you're going to push, and then this airplane's going to fly off. So remember, you got to point it that way, all right? Away from the pastor. You got to point it away from the pastor, all right? There you go. There it is. Good job. So, and we got it coming back. That's awesome. Okay, let's see if I can get it past the baptismal font. Yes. All right. There it is. You can try it again. There it is. See? Okay. Bring them up and go ahead and take a seat, because then I got something to tell you. Because this is kind of the excitement that... Go ahead and have a seat. Oh, you're going to do it one more time? It's tricky, but I know you'll figure it out. Okay? So close. You will figure it out. I guarantee you. Okay. All right. So, the excitement that was generated by sending these out into the crowd was exactly what Jesus wanted to happen as he sent out the people into the villages and into the world. As we preach God's word and people catch it, some people will. Some people will let it go on by. It just happens that way. But some people will actually catch it and then send it back, just like your mom did. As people do that, as we continue to spread the word of God, as we continue to be sent out into the world, loving one another as God loves us, that love will come back in return, okay? And if it doesn't, sometimes it doesn't. But God will always be there and doing it. So it's kind of like when we have our Bibles, right? You guys paying attention? Check this out. When we open up our Bibles, something comes alive, right? It does, because God's word is alive. And the more that we share God's word, the more that we are always sent out, as long as we allow ourselves to be sent out into the world, it goes. Go ahead and take that with you. I will show you how to work it after our service today, okay? So let's pray real quick, and then we'll continue. Good and gracious God, you are awesome, and we love you. We thank you for sending us out, that we may be your hands and feet, that we may share your living word with all people. Help us as we do our best in sharing your love with others as you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Lord Jesus to you this fine day. Amen. So Jesus is returning to his hometown after beginning his ministry and preaching to those whom he grew up with. And this, I know from personal experience, can be challenging. Now, my friends who knew me from high school and witnessed my journey up to and through seminary have always been very supportive. I remember going back to our home church in Fort Wayne while I was in seminary, and everybody was so supportive of me and my family as we lived into the call that God had placed into our lives. But those who didn't see my journey, those who knew me in high school and maybe some of my college years, had a different reaction when I told them that I was going to be going to seminary or that I had become a pastor. They had a different reaction to the news because they had not seen me in such a long time. I didn't fit into their expectations of what I might do with my life. It made them uncomfortable. Change always is. As I told them, their eyes would get big, and then they would laugh as if I was telling them a joke, and they would say, "You?" And then a long, pregnant pause. It was that uncomfortable pause where I assumed they thought, "Really? Randy Schrader is a pastor? The same guy who dressed up in the school mascot uniform? The guy who knew where all the best social events were?" I got the feeling this was not where they thought I would end up. And believe me, it's not where I thought I would end up. You probably have had these occurrences yourself. Think about how going back to a high school reunion, or maybe being reunited with old friends that you haven't seen in a long time, were you ever surprised of how people changed? Maybe some of you or some of your fellow classmates did not fall into the expectations that you had for them. Maybe the super quiet introvert was now a radio personality, or the jock who lettered in three different sports was now a librarian, or the bookworm is the one actually laughing now as she rolls up in her new sports car. Maybe the bully has now become a nurse. And maybe you were the one who surprised your friends or acquaintances. When somebody we know changes from what we expect or what we envision them to be, it's kind of hard to imagine that. It surprises us, and sometimes it's hard to accept. This is what the people from Jesus' hometown were going through as Jesus preaches in his hometown. Even more so, because of the deeds he has been doing, he returns with his disciples and begins to preach in the synagogue. And people were astounded. They were astonished, just as people were astonished back in chapter 1. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one who had authority and not as the scribes. The Greek word for astounded is the same one used for astonished. The people in Jesus' hometown are astounded by, or just as Jesus speaks. But then they begin to justify their idea who Jesus was. They try to remember him as he was. They begin to ask themselves, where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom that has been given to him? And what deeds of power are being done by his hands? As they are trying to make sense of it all, it's important for us to realize they are not questioning the work, the wisdom, or the power to perform miracles that Jesus has shown. Rather, by asking these questions, they are acknowledging these works and miracles. And they believe them to be true. They are questioning, though, their understanding of who Jesus is. They continue asking those questions. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, his family, his sisters? Aren't they here with us? And then they took offense at him. They are convincing themselves that it is not Jesus which God is working through, this guy that they grew up with, the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of those around us. This cannot be the same person. And notice there is no mention of Joseph here, which could mean that they thought Jesus was illegitimate. Even more reason of thinking something was off about this man and the wisdom, the power that he's yielding, because certainly God couldn't do that through an illegitimate son. And they took offense at him. Now the word for offense in the Greek is skandalizo, which means to be offended in one, to see in another what I disapprove of and what hinders me from acknowledging his authority. Surely God is not working through this guy, the one we grew up with, the one who we saw growing up in the streets around us, the one who in many ways is like us. And if he can do these things, why not us? So if he is the one God chose, we don't want anything to do with this wisdom or power. This rejection of Jesus by the hometown crowd is the ultimate reason Jesus cannot do any deeds of power there. And Jesus relates back to the prophets and the struggles that those prophets had when they tried to prophesy in their own hometowns and with their kin. But then he says, then it is written, Jesus was amazed at their unbelief. Now, if you're anything like me, you're probably thinking these two verses in Scripture link Jesus' power and healing to the belief of those around him. And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them, and he was amazed at their unbelief. It leads one to think that Jesus could not muster enough power to heal someone because of the belief of the others around him. Yet the Greek word translated as unbelief, apistia, is defined as the want of faith or trust. Or another way of thinking of it is one's unfaithfulness, one's faithlessness. Jesus was amazed at their unfaithfulness. Jesus was not amazed at their unbelief. They believed those miracles were happening. But they didn't think, at least they didn't want to think, that one of their own had the power of God within them. Because if that were true, God could work through any of us. And that's really intimidating. Their faithlessness was what literally kept Jesus from doing the deeds of power. As they took offense to him, they did not recognize Jesus' authority. Therefore, they would not allow him to cure the sick. I mean, literally, they didn't bring any sick to him. They didn't tell him about anybody that was sick except those who were already there. And we all know how that worked out. But the rest, Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith that God was working and healing through one of their own. And God's power has never been dependent on anyone's faith to work. God continues to reach out through persistent love and grace. Just look at our first reading from Ezekiel in chapter 2. He said to me, "Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' Whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them." God sends Ezekiel to those who have disrespected God and who have rebelled against God. One could say, to the unfaithful. But whether they hear or refuse to hear, they shall know that there was a prophet among them. So Jesus takes the disciples and goes out to the villages and the surrounding communities and begins to teach. He sends the disciples out two by two and warns them. Some people will listen and invite you in. Others, they won't. Jesus continues, "Just as my hometown has not been welcoming to me, as I share the word of God, others may not welcome you as you ask them to change from their ways." After all, welcoming others and changing their minds about things is what is being asked of them at the end of the day. This difficult thing that Jesus and the disciples are asking all people to do is repent. It's all about repentance. Now, let's remember what repentance is. The Greek word for repentance is metanoeo, meaning to think differently, to reconsider, to feel regret, but yet to think in a different way. Jesus begins his ministry by saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." And now he is continuing with his disciples, teaching the ways of the kingdom of God, which begins with opening the openness to the kingdom of God, changing our minds, changing how we see things, and following God's way. The main thread going through our readings today is the continuing work of God's kingdom, even when it is rejected. The people of Israel rebel against God, and God sends the prophet Ezekiel. Jesus goes home to his hometown, and they refuse to hear him, but Jesus sends out his disciples, and they proclaim that everyone should start thinking differently. They cast out many demons and anoint with oil those who are sick, and they are cured. Sometimes it is us, and sometimes it is others who reject the change God offers. But God continues to be faithful and work in spite of our unwillingness to change. And if you think that just one more change is way too challenging for you, it's more than I can bear, remember what Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians. "God said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness.'" Paul continues, "So I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. Today, our nation will celebrate its independence. We have many reasons to celebrate and to be proud of our country. Yet as a country, we also have many reasons to repent. So, the challenge for you, for all of you, with every God Bless America that you hear today, let's also ask God to have mercy, as we read in our psalm, so that we will be more welcoming to those who are like us and those who are not like us. We don't know who God might be sending to help us see things in a different way. But we know God's mercy and grace are true. We know that His wisdom has sent us prophets to speak God's truth, and we know God can do miracles. Let us be more welcoming to those who challenge our way of thinking and ask God to guide us as we enter discernment of how to share God's love. We never know who God is sending to speak the truth of God's kingdom. The time is fulfilled now. We are called to have open minds and to welcome others, not blindly, but with God's direction. And let us ask God to bless the whole world. Amen.